What's up, y'all? It's Casey. So today we are bringing you a double episode that we're calling Reality Check. And we're calling it Reality Check because we're looking at two different reality shows or two different situations happening on two different reality shows. And we hope you enjoy what we're bringing you. So first up, we are looking at Evelyn Lozado's recent engagement and discussing the question, why does Evelyn keep winning? This is based off of a Facebook post, as you will hear. And actually, this is a special podcast because after reading this particular Facebook thread, I felt compelled to give Big Brother Moody a call and ask him the question and get his perspective. And as you all know, Moody keeps it colorful. So without further ado, here's what he had to say on the topic.
See, I was on Facebook just doing some reading. So I always come up with some interesting topics. And one of my girls that podcast with me, Nikki, she gets up on there and she's like, dude, how come Evelyn Lozado stays winning? Like, third marriage, biggest ring ever, another baller. Like, what's the deal? And so a whole conversation jumped off about the definition of winning. Like, is Evelyn really winning? Like, she hasn't had a successful relationship yet. She's had three seemingly good prospects, but, you know, nothing really serious. And one brother jumps in, and he was like, there's different ways to get a man to put a ring on your finger. And he was like, essentially, you start talking about men in positions of power and with wealth. He was like, you notice Evelyn never messed with no broke niggas. She ain't going out with anybody that's poor. So she stays in the circles with men who have money. And he was like, for some men, that's how they'll choose whether or not they want to get with you. So, you know, if Michael Jordan slept with you, then you must be a bad chick. If Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods left with you, then you really must be a bad chick. I can consider you worthy of me. Now, if Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and Barack Obama hit that, then wow, we're talking about some amazeballs situation, you know. Mm. And so that's why she would quote-unquote stay winning, is because she stays in that circle of men, and that's how the men will view her. And he's like, you got to understand, there's levels to this whole shit.
Ah, awesome.
That line had me dying when
awesome.
He said that. There's levels to this whole shit.
Right,
and so
right.
I felt like it just begged the question. I'm like, wow. I'm like, if what he's spitting is game right here and some truth, then for a lot of women, we've had the whole situation twisted in regards to how we're supposed to go about things, because really what he's saying is a man judges you by, or one of the ways a man will judge you is by the men who you slept with previously. So if you slept with, you know, high-class, popular dudes who command respect, then that's more likely to pull you a dude who is, I don't know how you would put this, Moody, quote-unquote, a higher echelon of Negro. I mean, I don't know. Versus if you're dating, you know, lowbrow, broke, you know, or struggling or middle-class dudes, then somebody who considers themselves of status, maybe that's how I should put it. If you date men of status, then other men of status will consider you worthy of them, as where if you date men that are just regular, then men of status will think that you're more lowbrow or beneath them or not as high class or high status as they are, and they won't consider you. So I really wanted to know your thoughts on this.
Well, look, here's the thing. To put it short, I don't really subscribe to any of that. I think all of it is nonsense. I think that the bottom line is, for the last decade, men, especially black men, athletes and entertainers in particular are the new groupies. Men are just the new groupies. Because you have to look. Now, you take a – I don't think that Evelyn – what is her name? Rosada Lanzada. What is this chick's name?
Evelyn Lozada?
I don't think Evelyn Lozada is a – I don't consider her upper echelon. Like, there's nothing upper echelon about making a spectacle of yourself on national television and hopping from baller to baller. I think that's kind of low – that's kind of whack, actually. But men no longer have that dominant male quality where we will definitely be the ones to choose the diamond in the rough, or we won't step out and get the average woman. Well, quote unquote, the average everyday woman that we think can really make, make a mom, make a wife, make a proper household.
Mm-hmm.
Men are now like women used to be. And see, I knew all of this shit was going downhill when I saw niggas on YouTube singing Rihanna covers and shit. So you start seeing men on singing Beyonce covers, and men are the new groupies. It's as simple as that. They all want to share the same piece of ass. They all want to say that they've been there and they've done that, even at the cost of them making, costing them some millions of dollars. Because when you look at it, any man with half a brain know that this Evelyn chick is basically a divorce waiting to happen. So somebody that bases themselves on drama, physical beauty only, and I'm not even mad at her at all. She's doing what a pimp is supposed to do. Like she's doing what an idol is supposed to do. She's macking these groupies. I've been on the road with A-list artists, and I've seen them mack them hoes. And that is what she's doing. There is level to this shit, but the level to this shit is on Evelyn's. It's in her hand, not the men. This baseball guy, he's another groupie. He's another groupie that want to say that he got a notch on the belt. He's the new Kanye West. He's all of the guys that, you know, that's what it is, KC. Men are the new groupies. Women in the entertainment industry got more balls than men have. So men go, ooh, Evelyn, ooh, boy, I'm telling you, she is fine. Ooh, if I could get her. Yeah, niggas is whack nowadays, KC. This is nothing but male groupieism. It's nothing more than that. Not a lot of science to it.
Mm. Okay.
That's the way I see it. I don't think there's any science to it at all. Give me the science of Kanye West wiping Kim Kardashian.
See, that's what I was thinking. I was like, wow, this helps me understand the Kim Kardashian fascination
right.
a little bit more. If it's really a matter of, oh, okay, so because she's dated men mm-hmm. who are famous, then that makes other men who are famous say, oh, it must be something special about her. She's worthy of my time and my energy. Let me go ahead and try to date her.
Hmm.
But what you just said also makes sense. Men are just, they're kind of on that stan shit, that groupie shit.
Yeah, we're the new groupies because, look, let's think about status, okay? For whatever reason, we would put this chick as a woman of status. I don't know how that's possible. But how we would put her as a woman of status really displays the mindset of today's man. What is it about her that says that she is of any kind of status? Like being a minstrel show, that's status.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Is that really status? When you see a bunch of women running around after artists like Gucci Mane, what is his status? Like, what does status mean nowadays? What this is guys want to say, I'm with the it girl.
Say it again, Moody.
Guys want to say that I'm with the it girl. I got this hot property. It's actually the way that a man sees it to try to enhance his supposed, mega male, macho male status. It's really ownership for men. When you see men wipe up women like Kim Kardashian, Evan Lanzada, whatever her name is, when you see these kind of women get wiped up, what the man is really trying to convince himself of, this is my mega male status. Out of all the guys that ran through it, I am the one that tamed her. So what he creates is a facade within himself to say, I am the one that calmed her down. Dude, you didn't calm her down because you have dough. And you will really never know who this woman is so long as you keep catching that football, throwing that baseball, kicking that soccer ball, making that platinum record. The woman is, she's at your feet when you're making the money. Now, Kim, I think Kim Kardashian is a little different because she had her own money for doing absolutely nothing.
Right.
She became rich from doing absolutely nothing, but, well, getting boned by Ray J, who's not considered any kind of upper echelon, high status kind of guy.
Right.
You know, Ray J made Kim Kardashian famous. So, again, this goes back to men doing what women used to do. KC, we are just one more year off of grown men fainting when they see a female entertainer. I'm talking about big 235-pound men. Oh, Evelyn! And passing out. We are another 6 months off men taking off their boxes and throwing them on stage at Rihanna or Beyonce or something. Men are at the most feminine, weakest stance that I've ever seen men of power. They are at the most feminine point and the weakest point that I've ever seen men in power, especially our brothers, because you don't see the white boys playing the booty carousel like that.
Right.
Even when they play the booty carousel, it's not publicized because, you know, we know this is not our media and we understand that, but you don't see them publicly taking pride in wiping up a super whore. How many white male entertainers bang Madonna? But how many of them paraded Madonna around on their arm?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So
we have become
as men, as men of success, men that, whether we like it or not, men that are role models, men that are supposed to be teaching young men about the value of hard work, where hard work can get you, how to take care of your money, how to choose. I know that maybe we shouldn't put all of that on successful men, but that is what they are. What we are showing the younger men, what we are showing the world, is that we are a bunch of tight boxer, Chippendale stripper groupies. And the only reason that this dude wants to wife Evelyn Lawton, are we butchering this girl's name, but the only reason he wants to wife Evelyn is because he could finally say that he had what everybody else had.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bunch of groupies. This guy, Matt Kemp, Reggie Bush, Kanye West, we can run them all up and down. But what they need to all realize is that they will never know these women. These women are letting it be known. It's not about you. It's about the money. This Evelyn chick was just married a year ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She was just married a year ago. So how you get divorced in 12 months, get serious with another man, understanding the seriousness of marriage and relationship, how you get serious, that's one thing to get serious in 12 months. How you get serious and pregnant at your age and with your experience, it has to be for security.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at her. Yo, Evelyn, if you ever listen to this podcast, which you should be listening to it, get that money, girl. Pimp them hoes, man. Hey, listen, it is levels to this shit. It's just that the brother had it. He had the shoes on the wrong foot. It's levels to this shit for them females. Females run this shit now. Men don't run nothing now. These entertainers are lined up for females.
Mm-hmm.
They the new groupies, KC. Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I knew you would have some something profound to say about it, which is why I brought the conversation to you.
Look, I appreciate it. And now all of the male entertainers will hate my guts, which is right up my alley. But look, I just want to thank you so much for thinking of me with this topic. But I want everybody to go back and do their research. In the hood, any woman that everybody has ran through is a scuzzy. It ain't nothing to wife up. We might go Hey, y'all heard about Sharonda from 512? Y'all know how to get down, right? The whole hood might run through. Ain't nobody gonna wipe that up. We done turned women that use their vaginas as weapon and security devices. We have turned them into heralded women. They are iconic women. And the women that hold on to some kind of virtue and still believe in the way that things should be and carry themselves with some kind of integrity, we have wiped their existence off the map. Like, they don't even matter. And if y'all don't think that's a problem, then we're in more trouble than I thought initially.
Yeah, because that's really what the conversation came down to. The homegirl that was like, how does she stay winning? It was a litany of responses coming from, you know, different women who were like, you know, I can't even seem to get one, and I'm hardworking, I've gone to school, and, you know, we won't get into the conversation about degrees, because we've already talked about, you know, how men feel about women with degrees. I mean, or the fact that that doesn't have a major factor in whether or not a man wants to be with you. But, you know, they're just all basically saying they feel like they're going down the right path that would make them attractive to a man, and they can't seem to get one, yet here she is. And, you know, she has definitely turned her life into a spectacle. And she's on, you know, almost husband number three.
Right.
And it's like, how? Why?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and any man, you know, that's very true. And any man that wipes up a woman that is sitting on the porch doing coon shit for a living, and any man that wipes up a woman that was 12 months just divorced, any man that just runs up raw, because, you know, entertainers don't believe in birth control. So any athletes and entertainers don't do birth control. It doesn't exist in their world. So any man that would hit that raw, it says so much about our condition and our foolish sense of do we think that we're invincible. And any woman that knows this industry, that would let a male athlete run up in her raw, knowing how athletes, typically, a lot of athletes get down. Let's not say all, because we don't have proof that all do it. But any woman that would let a popular athlete who's known to get around run up in her raw, I think that what we would have to deduce, Casey, is this is a security move right here.
Yeah.
They play Russian roulette with their health for security.
Yeah.
Financial security. So what I would tell the sisters that say, if it's all right for me to say, what I would tell the sisters that say, I'm doing the right things, I'm educated, da da da, spare that, just spare me, stop it, just cut that out. We your education means nothing. In the realm of love, your education means nothing. When I sit down with you at first, I don't give a shit where you went to school at. I don't care what you have a degree in. It means nothing to me. I want to know if we're compatible. I would let me build my interest up in you. Let's see if we have things in common. If education is one of those, then we can move in that direction. But don't bring your degree on my first date. Don't bring your beauty school accolades on my first date. Bring a personality and something that makes me look for longevity in you. So when you say that you're doing the right thing by getting educated, you get educated in order for you to make career advancements in the world. If you're doing the right thing, is taking care of yourself mentally, spiritually, physically, and grooming yourself to be a great wife and a spiritual provider for someone. Don't stop coming out the house telling me where you educated at. I don't give a shit. We'll talk about that some other time. Give me the beauty school dropout that know how to make a meal and know how to tell me things are going to be all right when I'm down over a super miss, super duper educated who's working on her 18th date in 11 months because she just can't seem to get it right with her smart ass. So y'all cut that out. Do the right thing and let that education serve for something other than catching a man, because I'm trying to tell y'all from a real nigga's perspective, men don't give a fuck. Man, I'm just telling y'all how men are thinking, but they're not going to tell you what I'm telling you, ladies, because they want to get in your panties, and I don't. I don't give a shit about your panties. So cut that out. Y'all Y'all come out the house and be the queens that you are and leave that degree at home, and let's work into your educational accolades. We'll get into that later, but let me know what that personality like, though.
Right. I hear
Damn,
you.
Baby, you always bring the best out of me, girl.
Thank you, bro. That's what's up. Thank you, Moody.
So that was Big Brother Moody giving us his take on that situation. By all means, hit us up whether you agree or disagree. Let us know what you think. And so now we're going to move into the roundtable discussion. It was actually posed at the table the night that we recorded discussing Candy Burress and her public relationship with her mother, based off of what we all get to see on Real Housewives of Atlanta. And conversation was interesting in regard to when do we set boundaries with our parents, and of course people had opinions about what Candy should and should not be doing. But anyway, let you all take a listen for yourselves. Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, Casey Layman. We have another beautiful round table in the house tonight. Tonight's guests are Chris, Jamie, Tash, Rhea, and Alicia. We also have extra special guests, the host of Welcome to the Village, KJ. And tonight's topic is Candy and Joyce, mama and daughter, or daughter and mama, whichever one it goes. At what point do you draw the line with your parental guidance? And of course, we're relating this to Real Housewives of Atlanta and this past season, where Mama Joyce has really showed her draws in terms of her relationship with her daughter and her daughter's relationship with the man, and you know what is going to work and what's going to work. And we don't know what part of it is just for the cameras, what part of it is just her being authentic. But I can tell you this as a daughter to an only child to a daughter. To a daughter, only child to a mother. Lord, let me stay off this tequila. being an only child, I can speak to the fact that my mother has had dreams about who I was before I got here. And she's a wonderful, loving person. She's never tried to force anything on me, but she has always made it clear what her expectation for my life was. And I always could tell her response to where I deviated off that path of what it is that she wanted did not make her happy. She took a lot of it personally. Thankfully, my mother is not one who can try to control me like that. My personality is way too assertive. I get that from my father's side of the family. But I'm also not somebody who has made too many crazy, rash, irresponsible decisions. I've pretty much told the line pretty good to what she would want. She wanted me to be a doctor. I'm not a doctor. I'm sorry, mommy. I'm so sorry. Right. I am who I am. And so I say all that to say, if there was ever moments where my mother and I did not agree, and she would express her belief in what she felt I should be doing, I was very clear in saying, you know, mommy, I appreciate your opinion and your perspective, but this is my life. And this is the choice that I've made, whether you agree with it or disagree with it. And what I need from you is love and support, no matter what your opinion is. You know, and if it turns out that you're right, I'll come back to you and tell you you're right. You know, but I need you to let me find out on my own. Let me touch the stove and see whether or not it's hot. So I feel like at some point, all of us have to stop being, well, you never stop being somebody's child, but you have to be an adult. You have to grow up and speak up for yourself. And I think what we've seen, at least the way it's been edited and portrayed on this season, Candy is, she's afraid of her mom. She doesn't speak up to her mom, and her mom is going to leave her with no mans. Open it up to the table.
Well, I do agree that Candy doesn't stand up to her mother enough, really at all. And I think taking it just a step back, I was saying before we started that for me, you know, and full, you know, disclaimer, I do not have a mother like that at all. So it is a little difficult sometimes for me to put myself in someone's shoes, because your relationship with your mom is so specific to whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I can only know how my relationship is, and to imagine my mom acting that way, I would be like, absolutely not. But because she's never acted that way, I don't know how I would respond had I been raised with a mother that did act that way. So just from the outside, if I recognize those traits in the mother of someone I was dating, I would have a lot of apprehension about bringing that sort of energy into my situation, unless, like I was saying before, he really showed evidence that he was able to set a firm boundary with his mother and stand up for himself and his future. And short of that, I don't see myself dealing with that. So I think it's a big deal and something people should take very seriously.
This is KJ. Watching that short little clip that Casey sent me, you know, I think that's all for TV. I can't see a grown-ass woman being that damn ignorant. Yeah. For no damn
reason. You saw it.
Just ignorant. I agree. It seemed fake.
I was just retarded. She took her damn shoes off, man. What the fuck is wrong with... Put your shoes back on. What? That's just retarded. You're going to hit this woman with a damn shoe. Y'all trying on wedding dresses. You got the white folks checking you out thinking y'all crazy as hell. Come on, man. You got to be smarter than that. And you a grown woman. Come on.
Very grown.
Just retarded, man.
I agree with KJ. I think it was fake, but there are some real mothers like that. And so what do you do when you're caught between? Because I have some friends who have mothers that are just very overbearing, but they do. It's okay. I'm not going to put my family's business out there. But.
Y'all got them. They got a lot of kick
but
it.
There are certain women in my family where they pay the cost to be the boss. You know, so if I'm helping you with your bills and taking care of, you know, my grandchildren, then, you know, I'm going to have certain say. And this is why I don't ask anyone for anything. Because I don't want someone paying the cost to be the boss in my life.
Yeah, that's a whole nother level, this is Tash, of being a domineering mother when not only are do you have the personality to or the manipulative Svengali nature over your child, but you are also footing some of the bills. And so therefore you wield that as a weapon to, you know, to make sure what you want happen happens. Mm-hmm. I don't watch the show. I just saw a clip of the mother's outburst, and you know, outside of it being unladylike and my not being able, like KJ, to believe that this is real and not staged for television, if in fact, I mean, I come from a family of arguers, believe it or not, and if in fact. My mom, I can't imagine anybody arguing to that point and losing, especially in mixed company when the camera's on. Come on. Like,
you putting in laundry?
Right. In mixed company, you make sure you're on your best behavior. Now, when we close the doors, you can say whatever you want.
You got money for that. She got money for that.
But it does look like Candy, and I think I asked a question of you guys on the panel. It's like, it seems as if her mom wants her full attention and, you know, and needs her and is not supporting of her living her own life and is insecure in that manner. Mm-hmm. And I guess apparently you guys said that Candy said it on the show, like anybody who gets close to her, her mom mm-hmm. doesn't like because her mom yeah. needs that.
That's exactly what it is. This is Rhea, and I am repulsed and upset and disappointed in Mama Joyce. I do not, I mean, reality show, I think it's funny that you guys think it's fake because at the end of the day, it's not a cartoon. You see her acting a complete ass. So what that is, you know, just a product of these producers who get into your mind. They capitalize on your weakest, you know, kind of biggest fear or whatever it is that gets right in the core of your heartstrings, and they pull it and say, okay, go. They'll ask you the right questions and then turn those cameras on. That is her natural reaction. And I think it's ridiculous and embarrassing. And I don't come, like Leisha said, I don't come from a family of a mom that's like that. My mom supports me in all my wrong decisions, will fight on behalf of my wrong decisions. And I'm grateful for that. Like, I don't support, you know, the fact that she just is like, whatever you do, wrong or right, I'm gonna fight for you, wrong or right. But it just disheartened me because so many people are saying that Candy can lose her fiance for that. And I just feel like, at what point do you draw the line at a 37, 38-year-old woman where the only issue Mama Joyce has is about her money. And I just think that's stupid. Yeah. It's like strictly about money. Like, not Todd talks to you. Yes. She is supporting. She gave Mama Joyce her house. Mama Joyce ain't paying no bills. Mama Joyce is not partnering up to pay no bills. She is like, wait, Candy gave me her house. She's dressing a little better. She got her hair all done and straight. So she's like, no, no, no. You know,
straight. Better and straight. I don't know. You just slipped there. Did you just say and straight?
We can take it there. She looks better. She looks like she has tapped into my daughter's on a reality show. So I'm going to take it up. I'm going to dye my hair black, get me a China bang, and she looks better. I've watched the show since the beginning of time. I'm going to call it like it is. She got her cute little look and got her little sisters. Hello, evil sisters to come. And I was so upset by that. So that's why I wanted to talk about
that's
this.
That's what it is. She doesn't want so somebody upset. Else coming in on
that's
her.
That's strictly it. Mm-hmm. It's not, oh, Todd talks to you crazy or I don't like. It's strictly about money. And I just felt so strongly about that because I would hate to see Candy lose out on someone that she clearly loves. Todd never does he speak to her mom in a disrespectful way. Like, he takes mm-hmm. it.
He
she
does.
She was sitting there at the dinner table mm-hmm. reading his rights. Like, it was embarrassing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she basically said, come hella high water. Like, right. I'm gonna give you hell.
Right.
And he was just sitting there like, you know, he didn't really say anything back. So I respect him. I just think it's sad when I heard earlier off, you know, camera that some people would actually choose to walk away from someone. I mean, I guess that's wisdom in a sense, but I just lean on the side of when you get to a certain age and you make a decision on a spouse, why should your parent have the right to dictate and like completely manipulate and ruin? I don't stand on that side to say like, okay, you know, if your mama crazy, peace, I'm out. Like, that doesn't have anything to do with the person.
It's a deal breaker. And this is Chris. We said it on podcast that a lot of it is, you know, you're bringing families together. And you have to deal with this woman until she dead.
Yeah.
So when you have, I'm saying, so if you have like her, like you have a, like you have a child, and this kid becomes 18, you have to deal with, you have to take this woman, your child, to see her grandmother. You have to interact. So all this time, you have to deal with this person, all of it. And we were saying like my mom, you know, before she met my father, was engaged to a man. She met this man's mother, and the mother was straight mean to her. She was like, nah, I can't do this. I don't want to do this with you. And she said partly that's why she's the way she is with me and my brother. Like, I'm not going to step on your toes. If this is a woman you want to be with, then I respect that, and I'm going to get to know this woman and, you know, and love her as much as I can. Seeing this clip, and I've seen the show on and off. I watched the first couple seasons. I saw when Candy first came on, her mama was not like this at all. She was like, I'm the mother of the group, and I'm going to drop that wisdom and all that. And then
Peacekeeper.
That episode, it was like, he was being good, because I'd have been like, you know, what y'all talking about? Are your mama just talking about how she hate me and she don't want me to be with you?
Right.
just like that. I wouldn't say it like mad. I'd be like, oh, your mama just telling me how I ain't shit.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Right.
I mean, that's where Candy doesn't realize her power as a child, because I even from the perspective as a mom, if my son came to me and was like, mom, I love this woman and you need to stop badgering her, because if I was acting a fool, which I would not do that, but let's just say hypothetically I was on some ill shit and he came to me and was like, mom, I you can't do this. I love her. This is who I want to be with. And if you keep acting like this, we're just not going to come around. Well, that's powerful. Yeah. I want my child to come around. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get myself together. I can't let him know. He's never going to hear this podcast. But he can't know that right off the bat. But if Candy put her foot down and it's just like, mom, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You need to cut me some slack and trust that I am
mom,
making
I'ma
a good
stop
decision.
Stop paying those bills.
Right. Yeah. I'm gonna cut that allowance. You know, her mom would have no choice but to pull back. You know what I mean? She would have no choice but to pull back. But and that's what makes me think something that we are not privy to has happened between these two women. And it could very well be the death of Candy's brother. Whatever sort of grief her mother and she have gone through together has created a bond that cannot be broken. So it doesn't matter what circumstance happens, if mom decides she want to act a fool, if mom says, I don't like the situation, Candy's going to go along and get along as much as she can.
Because Candy is the type, to me, the little that I've seen, to not hold her tongue.
No.
So the fact that she's so docile with her mother, it's like there has to be something going on behind the scenes. And I thought that too.
Yeah.
It had to do with the death of her brother or some past relationships that she had that her mother helped her through.
Something.
So she's feeling indebted in some way to her mother.
Yeah.
Or something to do with her manipulation.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's not as black and white as the audience is making
it. I think also, I don't know the history of Candy's dad or what situation it was, but if they grew up, you know, with a single mother household, and
she did.
They probably bonded. You know, I mean, that's their family. That's all they
it's
have.
Codependency.
And her mom absolutely uses that power to manipulate Candy. I mean, I totally believe that. I totally believe she's always made it clear, like, respecting me means basically doing what I say. It's not, like, an actual, like, mutual respect. It's just what I say is what is respecting me. And I think Candy's lived that way. Her mom is bitter. She comes off bitter to me and unhappy. Yeah, and I think she has
And her sisters.
Yeah. It's a team effort. Energy they have that they want to put into Candy. Mm-hmm. And it's just... Unless she can break that mental block, she will be just like them.
that scene was awful from like the jump. Her mama comes in and it's kind of like, I don't even want to be here. I mean, God, I don't even want this marriage to happen. And her friend kind of just is like, really? You really gonna want to do this now? Like your daughter's putting on her wedding dress.
Producers. Exactly, man.
And that's then all of a sudden... Yeah. I'm about mama get turned up and it's like, what? Oh, this fighting words basically. You ain't family. What you got to say about it? She's like, I'm a friend. I ain't leaving. All of a sudden, shoe come off. The male friend got to hold her back, and I'm just mad. Like her friend is the one who's sitting there calm and like, I don't understand what your problem is. Why are you getting all that riled up?
And she was as respectful as one could be in that given situation. She doesn't call the mother out her name. She doesn't jump up to fight the mother back. Like, she remains in her stance the entire time. And this is moving outside of them. This is just one of those situations where it's like, if your mom acts like this, and I don't know anybody whose mom does, no, I can't think of anybody right off the bat.
A lot of mothers feel like this, but they don't
show out like that.
But that's the difference, because you're dealing with a situation where this is a cash cow for whoever the producers are.
This is true.
So they're going to put the right people, the right producers in place to bring up. I know this because I did a reality show.
Okay.
Where I was trapped on an island. It was like Survivor for a month. You had to find your own food. I did for a month, and I was paid $20,000 to do this. Mm-hmm, and afterwards, they offer you a psychologist or is it psychiatrist or psychologist? Which one is without the meds?
Psychologist.
Because they know that they have manipulated you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was acting out of character so much on this little island, because they will push, they sit and they interview you and they give you a 20-minute questionnaire to find out what your weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and someone said this to me and I was like, get out of here, you're a huge conspiracy theorist. But they use the same technology that they use to fly a plane to manipulate your personality.
Interesting.
It's deep.
Yeah.
It's
deep. I'll say this. Like, in reality shows, this is a kind of off topic. The people who deserve the most credit are the casting producers, because what they really do is do an assessment of your character and how you're going to behave in certain instances. Yeah. And casting producers are just extremely talented people.
Yeah.
People manipulators, people like you love them, you trust them, you're something about them, you're instantly like, oh yeah, okay, I can take them. And if they're telling Candy or Candy's mom, like, yo, like, I don't know, but I can't say anything because, you know, it's strictly confidential, but she, her assistant may be doing something with the husband in order to grease the wheel. Yeah, I mean, this everything exactly. is par for the course because they're getting a check in order to do so. And I'm not accusing any of them of having said just that. I just want to make that very clear. I don't know, but in speculation, those are the type of tools. Manipulation of all kind is on the table when it comes to reality television.
So I don't believe that Candy's mother was acting out of character. I mean, I don't think she was making it up, but she was out of character, probably.
Well, here's a question for y'all. I know a few of us, and you know, me and Casey and then KJ are married. Can you marry somebody with a parent who is completely against you? Because she was against the one who passed away.
Yeah, her last
I mean, can you deal with somebody who you know has a parent, you know, it could be a father or mother, but
who's gonna come to your wedding, who's,
right, who's basically, every time you sit with
black.
Them.
Wearing black.
You know, if you sit with them across the counter, they just kind of like,
ignoring.
Why are you even here? Why don't you just leave? Because you know all you're trying to do is take my man money, take my son money, or just marry my daughter because she got paper. Why don't you just leave?
If you love them, yeah.
I have to stay silent.
I would. No. I'm a sucker for love because you're a grown up. You're a grown up. We don't choose our parents. So whatever life deals them, whatever experiences lead them to be hardened, jaded, ignorant, whatever those, you know, beautiful people, it has nothing to do with the love that I have for that person. Now, how they conduct themselves and how they respect me is one thing, but I can't see myself saying, I can't fool with you, period, on the basis strictly of your parent having this opinion. Now, if they respect, now, there's like a spectrum of disrespect.
No, but like, even if the
person could just not like me, okay, cool. But if they say hello or just keep it cordial, I might sign up for it.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, if they keep it cool. But I mean, if they're disrespectful and your potential spouse is not
supportive,
like, hey,
fighting on my behalf,
back the fuck off my spouse.
It's just well, like, maybe. That's just how it
but
is.
Kind of like,
at me if that's,
I mean, you seen the show where she was like, where her friend was like, you know, your mama been talking, well, I don't know who that, you know, they've been talking, well, that could have been anybody. And she like,
But in the next episode, I have to say I was a little proud of Candy. She did try. You know, I don't think I had a worse expectation of what she was going to confront Mama Joyce with. She tried. Like, I felt like she called her out. She said it was too much. You know, she said that it was wrong, and Mama Joyce just completely shut her down. But I felt like, okay, well, Candy tried. So if that were me and that was my spouse, I mean, I do agree with you. Like, I'm just not going to be disrespected if my spouse is completely silent on the issue. But sometimes, I mean, grown women, especially men, women, whoever, mm-hmm. 50, 60 plus, they're set in their ways. I mean, I'm a woman of faith. I would just, depending on the circumstance, I'm not going to give a hard, fast answer as long as they said something. Now, if they were completely silent, I might have to go. Mm-hmm. And pray about it and say, okay, wait a minute. Like, if you completely silent, this don't affect you in no way, that might disturb the peace in our bedroom.
Yeah.
But if they express some level of like, okay, mom, like chill out, like something, just to kind of level it out, then I would at least be open. I just feel bad that people would be like, psh,
they're liking me is inconsequential. Like, they don't have to like me. That I don't need them to, but I have to like them, and I can't see myself loving somebody and not liking their parents for whatever peculiar reason. Like, if I love them and their parents are part of the, like, how what shaped them and made them who they are,
then you like them for
I
that.
Can love them in a way that, like, you know what? They're just who they are. And so what? It's not my type of people. It's not somebody I would kick you. I wouldn't make a friend out of that person. Yeah. But guess what? I love them. And so I can't really see myself caring about whether the parent really loves and likes me. Now, when I think about this, the fact that it's family and my kids are going to spend time with them, that is a factor. And you're right. I couldn't be with somebody who I wouldn't trust that my child spending 2-3 months with them unsupervised isn't like okay. I mean, this is like a summer.
What vacation you going?
I'm talking about like a summer. Like, if my kids will spend a summer.
I get what
you're 2-3 months.
I mean, like, I presume that my kids should listen. If it's family, my kids should be able to spend a summer with them, and I can,
I mean,
like, rest
lives
easily.
In the same city as
is you.
Yeah, but if my, I guess if my, if your in-laws, my wife's in-laws lived elsewhere,
you could send the kids away for the
summer. I would need to send the kids, yeah. The oh, okay. Yeah.
But, but I think what we're talking about is two different things. Because there's one thing if they don't necessarily care for you, meaning that you wouldn't be the person right. that they would choose yeah. for their right. child, versus being actively, adamantly against you guys being together and working toward your demise. Right. That's a different situation. Yeah, that's a different situation.
And if they were the type of person like to poison their the mind of my kid against me, yeah. like if that's some shit I cannot abide by.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Because now all of a sudden your intended is accusing you of shit you ain't doing. Well, my mama said right. that. She right. heard. That's yeah, it's a wrap. Exactly. It's a wrap.
What about you, Leisha? Do you want to say no?
Oh, I've been very clear from the beginning. So I have the lowest tolerance because I honestly would have second thoughts if the person wasn't even willing to acknowledge the flaws of their mom. Forget standing up. Like, we have to be able to really talk honestly about our families.
Right.
And if your mom is, or if she does something blatantly, it doesn't even have to be rude to me, but just like, who does that? Like, if I want to say who does that to you, I don't want it to be a fight. I don't want to have to fight. And I don't want to have to hear back. I'm just saying, I don't want to have to hear an answer back explaining why it was totally rational and reasonable for your mom to do something that wasn't right. Like, acknowledge, yes, I know. I don't know why she did that. I don't know why she did that. You know what I mean? Like, that's how crazy I am. Like, I want it to be like, we need to have clear visions of our families because I have a very clear vision of my family. Right. So I don't, you know, if you point out something crazy someone in my family does, I'm going to agree with you most likely. So even my mom, you know, but so I'm very like hardcore about it.
Okay. KJ, could you deal with that? Because I've heard your mama, your mother-in-law on the podcast and she seemed real cool. But if she was like mama... You're right. Can you would you have been able to marry Lady J?
Hell no. I got look, man, I've already dealt with that crazy ass before. I've had a crazy ex mother-in-law and to do it again. No, I'm good on that. Like I love my wife, you know, I can deal with the lot. She's set in her ways. And my mother-in-law is set in her ways. And I think honestly, you know, I'm gonna retract that. I can't marry Chanel, and here's why. I've gotten older and I've been able to grow as a man, and I can say, hey, this is what I will not accept and this is what I will accept. Now, if you don't like me, that's cool. I'm good with that. But if you're in my home or I'm in your home, respect is all we got to have for each other. And there it is. You don't badmouth me in front of my kids. Amen. And I won't badmouth you to them. And we keep it pushing. You go on about your business, you die, I'll shed a tear and holler. Deuces yeah. and keep it pushing. Mm-hmm. That's just how I feel. I mean, I'm pretty much, you know, I'm not going to deal with all that throwing shoes and having to grab her. That couldn't have been my mom. You know, I'd have called my mom out a long time ago. Like, look, lady, you done lost your rabbit ass mind. And my mom has actually heard that from me before. So, you know, we got the kind of relationship. I can tell my mom, hey, you're getting a little stupid. And she can say the same thing to me. And that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. It's just where about where you're at in your life. And that's not going to go down in my house or towards my wife. It's just not going to happen.
And see, I don't know if I would even classify that as disrespectful. If you see your parent doing something way out of line, yeah. you kind of letting them know that, mom, dad, this is not a good look for you. And it's embarrassing me. Like, don't act that way. You know what I'm saying? You're acting out of pocket and it's just like, it's not good. You know what I mean? Because you never know. For all you know, you're seeing early signs of dementia or some other illness kick in with your parents.
Kellyism.
Right. You might need to speak up. They got a degenerative disease kicking in.
I think if your parent had traces of R. Kellyism as a woman, Jamie, you would have known at a very young age.
Got 13-year-old boys, your best friend at the house chilling. Damn.
So anybody else have anything to say about Mama Joyce and Candy?
nothing, but I wanted to bring this topic up. Just at what point are you like, okay, look, I understand, and I'm since I'm a parent, I understand that you're going to be a parent and do them things until you're gone. But at what point, as the child, are you like, look, I'm not a quote unquote child anymore. Respect my decisions and back the hell off.
And stop treating me teenagers.
Like, stop treating me like I'm it. Five.
You got to nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
From the beginning, because if you
as a child you have to nip it in the bud from the beginning.
As an adult.
But once, then, at what point do you transition from being a child to telling your parent like?
Once it starts to infringe on your other families.
Once you start paying your own bills. Woo. Because that's key. Because once somebody's footing the bill, you don't got much power.
You can't say if you live in somebody else's house.
Well, I've been doing that since I was 15.
Let me say it like this. It happened for me the day I joined the military. I had somewhere to go. If she got crazy, I went back to my command. I was like, I'll see you in a couple weeks, Mom. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta, once you hit that point, if you got somewhere else to go, go. Let them get mad. Let them talk crazy. But go on about your life, and you got to grow and be like that. That's just how I look at it.
No, I agree. I think it's when you hit 18, because I mean, at that point, parents can throw that with you until you under my house, and you still a child. Once you hit 18, and technically they always throw that. Well, once you 18, I can kick you out. You're like, all right, well, I'm 18 now. I can make my own decisions. So
it ain't easy decision, but it's a decision nevertheless.
If you 18 still living at home, your parents don't feel like they can tell you whatever.
Oh no! Once
they
you
need to do.
Once
there's
you,
no difference for them. You still a child. Going to college doesn't even count. If your parent is paying for school, that's you still under their rule. It's the moment you foot your own bill. You put down your first and last on your apartment with just your name on it, and you move out. You at that point you can say to your parent, I cannot let you dictate what goes on in my life anymore because
is marrying that person, and how much of you is marrying that person's family? Because you know you're not just marrying a person,
it's the whole thing.
There has to be some compromise. It can't be just us against the world, right?
No, because and the thing is, you won't be with the family, and mind you, proximity is everything. If everybody's family is in the same city, then you're gonna see in-laws more often than you would if they lived out of state. But your relationship is with that person. I think ultimately, if a couple of things people have said at the table tonight resonate, if your intended does not recognize their parents crazy, that's a problem. If they don't speak to their parents crazy, that's a problem. And if they don't have your back, that's a problem. If all of that is not happening, that's when that parent feels okay in attacking you. Like if Candy stood up for her guy, like he's telling her, like you got to say something. Mama Joyce wouldn't feel like she had a space to do that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, she may not like it, but at least her daughter's like...
She has some boundaries.
Right.
Right.
Because she's talking
and
about
that's what it is.
Right.
Yeah. Boundaries.
Right, you can't, you know, if she's just like, hey, fine, you got a problem with me marrying this dude, fine, but you can't talk to him like that, especially when I'm in the room. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know you, I'm not cool with that. All right, I know you don't want me to marry him. All right, I got that. Now be quiet about it.
And every time that she allows her mother to do that, the platform for her mother just gets higher and higher and higher. So, you know, at what point is she going to be able to knock her down and say, hey, Mom, I can't handle this. Don't do this anymore. You know, she's just letting her mom do it. So until she's knocked down, you know, we're going to keep seeing this.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Yeah, I want to suggest a topic for a further podcast is, you should raise your children. It's presumed that you should raise your kids to be self-sufficient and independent by the time they're 18, just because that's when they're officially an adult. But what do you do? How do you raise a self-sufficient child? Like, and what happens if they're self-sufficient by 16 and they don't need you? Like, should you allow them to go ahead and fly the coop and do their thing? I think that's a really, and even though I'm not a parent, I think it's a great topic.
That's a good topic.
That's one to revisit.
All the celebrity children who tried to divorce their parents.
Because they've made the money and don't need parents to pay X, Y, and Z. That's a good topic. Look, as a new parent, I'm still a new parent. My child only five. I'm figuring out as I go along.
All right now.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find us at blackisonline.com, on Twitter at blackisonline, and on Facebook at Black Is Magazine. Until next time, peace.